Hey, ladies and gentlemen, before we get this Juan Epstein started, I have to do something that I forgot to do all week, and it's important. Old school echo important. Hey, on a serious note, if you're a fan of the podcast, you ever have been, go to podcastawards.com and vote for Juan Epstein as the podcast of the year in the culture and arts section. You don't have to vote for everything else. You can just go to culture and arts and vote for Juan Epstein. They'll ask you for your email address. Then they're going to send you an email. Literally, all you do is click the link in the email. You don't have to do anything after that. Once you click that link, you have voted. But they do make you actually type in your email and receive an email. If you love the podcast, and I promise you, yes, today, of course, we have someone incredible on it. Next week, we have someone incredible. I haven't even gotten to the one that I promised is coming soon that's going to be absolutely mage. That one is still happening. And really, just a lot. I mean, I can tell you, we ran into Mr. C today. There's going to be a Mr. C 1-up coming up soon. A lot going on. If you're a fan and a supporter, we encourage you, podcastawards.com, culture arts, vote for Juan Epstein. And I love you. Good morning.
Good afternoon.
Good evening.
Good day.
Ooh. Well, it's really good night, but that's fine.
We'll take good day. Easy Mo B is here on Juan Epstein.
Early.
Whew, early, ready, yeah. And Syph not only early but came with snacks.
Hip hop is usually late,
right? We know that. we know that.
Now, I want to give a big shout out to our friends over at Bevel.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, getbevel.com. Syph, can I just say,
you looking at my smooth skin?
The skin is smooth.
I beveled yesterday.
Did you really?
I beveled over the weekend. Smooth, baby.
Listen, Bevel, if you're not familiar, it's a company that makes an amazing razor for people who have coarse hair, a different kind. Syph, Puerto Ricans, Jews, black people, we're a little bit different maybe when it comes to shaving.
Yep.
So if you go to Bevel and you type in this code, you're not going to believe what it is, Syph. Juan Ep.
Hello.
You're going to get 20% off your first month at getbevel.com. Clearer, smoother skin. It's an amazing system created for men with coarse, curly hair. Nas is an investor, so you know it's official. So make sure you get over there, get an amazing razor, and support Juan Epstein at getbevel.com. Code Juan Ep.
Beautiful.
Now,
should I play here? Hold on, you going to jump right in?
What do you want to do? Oh, you want to have a little chit-chat first?
A little bit.
Okay, sorry. Mo, can you hold on for 1 second?
I want to warm up.
Okay, go ahead.
Couple things real quick. Couple items of business. One, there was somebody on Twitter, you retweeted it, of a guy who sent us a picture of a Carhartt store.
Yes, yes. But it wasn't Carhartt Girl.
And he was saying, oh, Carhartt Girl probably loves this store. No. Carhartt Girl would not go and buy a fucking Carhartt jacket. Carhartt Girl steals her stepfather's Carhartt jacket.
Wow, you're so right, Syph.
She doesn't love the brand.
And by the way, in the picture, the girl's wearing a matching hat. Come on.
No, it wasn't. That's not the one I saw. It was a store.
Oh, there was a store. There was another one of a girl in a jacket and matching hat.
No.
Too much.
And if it's a brand new Carhartt jacket and it's looking all fresh and fly, that's not Carhartt Girl.
No, you're right.
Carhartt Girl is like, her room is a mess. And she just goes downstairs and she just takes her stepfather. It has to be a stepfather. It has to be.
Oh, no. There's only a stepfather.
Or mom's boyfriend. You know what I'm saying?
Borderline abusive.
He's definitely an asshole.
He's questionable.
And she grabs his fucking older, because he does construction or some shit like that. He works on the railroads.
Did you say he works on what?
The railroads.
All the live long day?
Yeah, all day.
Okay.
And she grabs his old jacket because she's just running out to go with her stupid friends. To go to McDonald's.
And the hat
she'd
be wearing would more likely be like a hat she bought at the anger management tour. Okay? It's not going to be a matching Carhartt jacket.
It might be a Carhartt hat, but then the jacket probably won't be.
Exactly.
So just to let you know, we're trying to narrow down and stop calling my assistant Carhartt Girl. She hates it.
The more you say it, it's the more they're going to do it.
She's not a Carhartt Girl.
People are going to be searching for a picture of her.
She's not a Carhartt Girl.
But if you looked at her, she could have been. If she had bigger...
A couple things. Yeah, I understand what you're saying.
A couple cup size is different.
That's not the only thing, though.
I know. There's more to it.
But yeah, I feel what you're saying.
Look-wise.
She's not a Carhartt Girl. Second
item of business.
Shout out to Sneaky Big Tits.
Okay, why?
His goal is to get a shout out on One Ep.
Is he a real person though?
I don't know.
Because on Twitter, there's this sneaky big tits thing, and they retweet everything about us.
But who's doing that? Someone has to do it, right?
Yeah. Well, it may be. I think now it's set that anytime there's a mention
of my name, your name, or One Ep.
Yeah, but it's not all of our tweets. It's about One Epstein.
He tweets other stuff like about my class and stuff,
really?
Improv stuff, comedy
so
stuff.
So maybe he is doing it.
Who is it? Does he know us?
No, I think he's just a fan. And I really appreciate that.
You don't
think
it's someone on the inside?
You think it's an inside job?
I think it's an inside job, man.
Well, I speaking of sneaky big tits, there was a lot of sneaky big tits talk this week because my wife has had a big opportunity with the Mets.
Uh-huh.
She's down there doing games.
That's where the sneaky big tits came from.
Exactly. So I've been posting a lot of different, I posted a bunch of stuff, and some of the comments I got, I thought you would enjoy and should probably be read.
Sneaky big tits, I shouted you out, but you need to understand the pictures of girls you put up with big tits.
They're not sneaky.
Are not sneaky big tits.
Calm down, son.
You have to be, but he's just putting chicks in bikinis with big tits.
We love those.
That's not what sneaky big tits is. They have to be sneaky. Oh, shit. I didn't know she had big tits.
Okay, why did someone write one of the comments on my wife's picture, sneaky big tits with Newports? What does that mean?
With Newports? What's the picture?
It's just my wife like Newport, doing a report.
With Newports, I don't know.
All right, what about this?
Newport cigarettes.
Yeah, but what, we don't understand the point.
What's the correlation?
We don't get it. Then someone wrote, Rosenberg Radio, she's definitely banging one of the ball players, getting mage cock.
Oh, that's not nice.
But what I like about it is that he used my own language.
Right.
To insult lingo. My wife, which I thought was nice. Mage cock.
Yeah.
But there's one in particular that I thought was really special. Someone who really took time. Like, if you're going to go off on me, here you go. This is what you do. Shout out to this guy. Peter Rosenberg's 2-inch Jew uncircumcised cock. First of all.
Why would it be uncircumcised?
Yeah, first of all, Jews are circumcised. That doesn't make sense. Is not satisfying that hot blonde.
I hate uninformed racism.
She most likely never had an orgasm looking at his bald dome during sex. And his 5-foot ass can't dominate her in bed. Actually, he wrote dominant her in bed. If she only knew. Plus, that big belly chafing and rubbing on her abs. This is the line. This next line is like one of those rap lines that says something too properly. It goes, it must be a disaster in plain English. Why would you write in plain English? I feel so bad for them both. My heart goes out to you guys, real talk. And he tries to be funny and cute to make it less awkward, and it probably annoys the shit out of her at this point. That's Peter's defense mechanism when things get awkward or when she sees that 2-inch Jew cock. Man, I feel bad
for
her, really.
On?
He has Napoleon syndrome. It's just Instagram. It's just an Instagram comment.
Fuck.
So shout out to that guy. That was pretty good. My wife called me in hysterics because one of her friends texted her because she was like mad. So she's like, her friend's like, I can't believe people say this. So she goes to Alexa. And naturally, of course, Alexa finds it just hilarious. Anyway, so Saif, I think we've done enough. I want to do one thing right now. Are you ready for it?
No, I got to do one more thing.
One? Are you kidding?
No.
We have a legend here.
My God. Fuck, he's too early. I had my improv class. Shout out to everybody that took the Sunday class. The Wednesday class is coming up. I want to do more classes. If you want to sign up, I need to see more interest. So email me at don'tgetgassed@gmail.com. If I get enough people emailing me, I'll start up another class. Because a few people are asking me if I'm doing more. Yes, I'm doing more. Determining how many people show me interest now is when I'll start it up. So email me.
Don'tgetgassed@gmail.com.
Don'tgetgassed, G-A-S-S-E-D. @gmail.com. Email me. Let me know if you want me to do another one. It was fucking amazing. People who have never done improv, some people who have never even seen improv, were killing it in the first class. Killing it!
Were people literally saying, what is an improv?
No.
Okay. Ready?
Yeah. Oh, I gotta put headphones on?
Come out and play.
I know we had to do a remix, right?
Niggas is mad, I get more butt than ashtrays. Fuck a fair one, I get mine the fast way. Ski mask way.
Easy Mo B is not only nodding like he's never heard, like he's this new to him, but like he didn't make this song. Easy Mo B is on One Epstein. Thank you, man, for doing this.
No doubt, man.
We had a very unorganized Biggie tribute last week. And as we were running through the songs, we were like, we need to get Easy Mo B up here. Like, that has to happen.
But what was so unorganized about it?
Oh, YNAB is a very sloppy podcast.
part of what makes the podcast special is that it's a little bit off the cuff from two guys who just love hip-hop and just start talking. So when we're talking, Syfe and I are just like, why the fuck have we not had Easy Mo up here? So I haven't seen you in person in a little while, but I reached out, and we're so thrilled to have you. The story for Easy Mo B begins musically, Syfe, earlier than I even realized. Do you know the first credits of Easy Mo B?
Before rapping is fundamental?
Hey.
I don't know.
He knows his shit.
Is that first?
Yeah.
You don't know rapping is fundamental? Oh, you never watched Video Music Box.
Rapping is.
Who's that by again?
Fundamental.
Who's that by, Syfe?
By Rapping is Fundamental. Oh, what was the group? That was the group, right?
That was me, AB Money, and JR.
What label?
We had first of all, we started out, shout to my man Sudan Lawrence, first original manager. We started out on Kahafa Records in like 88 going on 89.
Kahafa Records?
And we had a single called Ain't No Smoke Without Fire, and Big Daddy Kane, we can't say he featured on it, but he did some shout outs on it.
And was Kahafa Records a big thing?
Nah, it was independent.
Indie, a little
independent. But in 1990, we got a deal on A&M Records with an album, The Doo Hop Legacy. And
it was
after
a hip-hop jazz thing happening.
Yeah. Now, a year before that, in 89, my first real true commercial entry was Big Daddy Kane.
Which Big Daddy Kane record did you do?
On the second album, It's a Big Daddy Thing, Another Victory, and Calling Mr. Welfare featuring DJ Red Alert.
And so
DJ Red Alert.
So those features are the first moments of Easy Mo B.
Yeah.
Syfe, are you opening a full buffet lunch today?
I have some chicken and some cucumbers.
I was just listening to the first podcast, and I was like, man, we've come a long way. You know, Syfe would just sit there and eat for the entire podcast.
He is a master. He's good at this. Look.
And now we're here 7 years later, and you are doing the exact same thing.
But look what I'm eating.
So I'm supposed to be happy that you're eating healthy throughout the podcast?
Sounds way better.
You know what? I'll take my victories where I can get them. where does the story begin before that for Easy Mo? I don't know where you grew up.
For me, it began in Lafayette Gardens. We call it LG.
LG, Mr. C's from there.
Okay. That's right. Mr. C lived on the 8th floor.
That makes me believe this is a shitty part of Brooklyn.
Listen.
Is that accurate?
Nah, it was live over there. You crazy?
The word live usually implies shitty.
Mr. C is from my building. C and his family lived on 8. My family lived on 11. I'm not gonna tell you the letter, but we lived in the same line of apartments.
You're on the same line.
Right, so I was on 11, C's on 8 when we was little kids. He used to look up, I look down, I'd be like, what up, Calvin, what up? He look up, what up, Booby, what's going on?
Why were you Booby?
That's my family nickname.
Just for you.
And there's a story behind the word Booby, the nickname Booby. Easy Mo B, oh man, I've been at this a long time. Yeah. Back in 1980, all right? When I was coming up with a name for myself. First of all, Kool Moe Dee was always one of my favorites. I just loved him, his style. I loved his name, everything. I wanted to flip his name. So I took cool, adjective easy. He was M-O-E, so I said drop the E. And the B is for Booby. So originally it was supposed to be Easy Mo Booby, but that shit is too long. So we just say
that is
Easy Mo B.
I mean,
and I met Kool Moe Dee, and I told him too. He just laughed it off. Like,
I mean, by the way, I like that your adjustment to Mo was just losing the E.
Yeah, you
same
can't,
word.
Listen. I'm from an era where biting is not allowed. You don't bite, man.
But that is such a bite. I mean, your name is.
I took the E off.
You took the fucking E off, man.
And then he
Then
he was cool, so I went for another similar adjective. I had easy. He was cool. I was gonna be easy. He's M O E, so I said drop the E.
Well, that's a good point.
Listen, he was D, so I said
you're B.
Boobie so, becomes B.
So listen, you did a sort of synonym as the first name. You dropped a letter on the second name, and you changed letters altogether on the third name. You should be commended. Early, were you a DJ as a kid? How early did it start?
Yeah,
for you?
Man, the real Easy Mo B is my father, man. I lived in a typical house, 45 stacked up high in the corner.
Where are those 45?
Hey, man, my father, he still got some of them, but I got most of his stuff.
You got
stuff.
Most of it?
Yeah, I got most of his stuff. His albums, his Pig Meat Markham albums, all of that. But my father, I consider him to be the real, true Easy Mo B. He's the one who started it off. From all of the music he was playing, that's the one who got me into the music and everything. By the time I started sampling and hip-hop cats started coming out with beats, most of the stuff that was coming out, I already knew it. I said, oh yeah, that's James Brown, or that's Isaac Hayes. Diddy used to play that. So he helped prep me, you know what I mean, musically, for this whole hip-hop thing that I didn't even know I was going to end up being in. You know, I come from the era watching, you know, DJs out in the park. Big speakers, systems, and all of that. That's my father's my original musical inspiration, but watching those cats out in the park at the block parties, that was it.
What's your background? Are you West Indian?
Black, Southern Black.
Southern Black, real kind, you know what I mean?
Southern real. Black.
He's that Black American.
I'm dirty.
So, do you have any involvement in the park parties, just watching?
Now, let me tell you something, man. People don't understand. DJ Mr. C, he goes a lot further back and much more involved than people even know. People only know him from Hot 97, from the Cane. But before that, him, Shim Sean, Timmy, these are cats that you may not know. My man Fish, what up, Fish?
Fish.
What up, Fish?
They used to all come outside and jam outside in the park and everything. And then see, he had an older brother named Barry, an older uncle named Barry, and his boy Ant. Those are the two that really made C want to DJ.
Because they were already DJing.
He ain't going to tell the story, but I'll tell it. Hmm. But C was right there during that whole time, and Mr. C used to watch me and my man Witch Doc, who lived across the hall from me. Witch Doc is one-third of the Blues Brothers that produced Everyday Struggle, Me and My Bitch.
Oh,
the original Me and My Chance on Ready to Die.
We were
Norman, that's his real Norman. Name. Yeah, yeah.
He was down with Master Ace?
Yep.
And, wait, so Lord, yep. So Lord Digger was in Blues Brothers?
Lord Digger,
they produced that Slaughterhouse album, those names.
Welcome to the Bates Motel. My name is Norman. Unrelated. Just the movie? Just the movie?
I don't know. But, yeah, C used to watch me and Norman, Witch Doc, on the bed, rocking like 3 and 4 turntables and shit like that. And he would just sit back and be like, yo, y'all incredible. Y'all crazy.
Were you a good DJ?
I was always a good DJ.
Always?
Always.
Still are?
Always. I'm not a turntablist, but I'm precise, man.
You blend records, you pick good songs. You do.
I do the basics.
Yeah, that's all you got to do. That is all you have to do with DJing.
You know what I mean?
So when did it become more musical? When did you get a piece of equipment?
Now, C went to Sarah J. Hill High School downtown Brooklyn with Big Daddy Kane. And my boy A.B. Money, I told you that was in Riff, from the back building in LG, he went to Sarah J. Hill with them also. So it's A.B. Money, Kane, and Mr. C. They're all at the same school.
A.B. is around. That's how Kane and C. met?
That's
how Kane and C. met?
I guess, yeah. Now, A.B. is around Kane because of Sarah J. Hill. He's constantly telling me, we're early forming Riff, Rapping is Fundamental right there. So A.B. is constantly telling Kane, yo, you need to check out my man Boob, he got some beats. Kane is like, yeah. He finally get around to it. That ended up being another victory and the call of Mr. Welfare on the
What'd you make those on?
SP-1200. And Akai S950. And I'm still using the same equipment, and you can hear that same equipment on a brand new Beats album that I got out right now. The album is called And You Don't Stop.
Where can people get this album?
By Easy Mo B. It's on Slam Jams. That is Mr. Chuck D's label.
And, ooh, can you help us get Chuck D on one episode? We'll get to that later. So, and people can find that online or wherever.
You get it on iTunes and on rcsmusic.com.
So you're messing around with the SP. You're starting to make beats. You get a look with the Kane situation. You're working on your own group, which, of course, the group never really materialized into being a big thing.
Rapping is fundamental to me, is what out in the real musical world they would have called a commercial failure. It just means that you... Hey, listen. That's the terminology in the music business.
Your setup for it was crazy.
Yo, I'm an honest dude, man. I'm straight up, you know, no chaser. I don't cut it, man. But
you
I'm
had your successes.
You,
no need to hide the failures.
But I'm gonna tell you, the great thing about rapping is fundamental, and where we did succeed, and I'm talking about we hit it big, is we recorded with the late great Miles Davis.
Oh yeah, that was the video that you saw in the music box.
So
all
that
the time,
just makes up for all typical, so to
what
speak,
was that song?
Commercial failures. That makes up for that. I mean, you ain't gonna get no better than that.
What was the song called?
Just kicking that doo-bop sound. Oh, yeah. Just kick with Miles Davis. We were singing and rapping on there.
How'd you get the Miles Davis feature?
Rest in peace to Francesca Sparrow, man, over at RPM. Rush Producers Management. Russell Simmons had Rush Artist Management.
And she passed away?
And then she
used to work for Puff, right?
That's right. But before working for Puff, she was at RPM.
How'd she pass away?
I have no idea.
Really?
I have no idea.
She interviewed me to get a job there back in the day.
Yeah, this was... Yo, Fran was like the spirit, man. I loved her, man.
Oh, wow.
For real, I loved her, man. And I also consider this, to this day, for her to be like... What I would say was my best manager, man.
Really?
A lot of my best opportunities came through that experience being with her over there at Rush. And the Miles Davis project came through there. That's what I'm getting at.
Right.
So you said, how did it come about? So she comes to me and she says, Boob. She knew me just as well as anybody else from the project. Said, Boob, Russell has been hanging out with Miles and Miles wants to get into hip hop.
Oh, my God.
So I'm going to put together a reel of some of the stuff you did so far and your beats and stuff, and I'm going to send it over to him, see what he likes.
Wow.
I had done The Genius. This is pre-Jizza.
No, you did Worse Than The Genius.
Yeah, 10 songs on
You did Pass the Bone?
Nah, I didn't do that one. I did 10, and my brother LG did like 5.
LG, the LG Experience?
That's right. That did LL Scratch.
And Life's a Bitch.
And that's right, the remix and all of that. That's my brother, my blood
Life's
brother.
Life's a Bitch?
Now.
Mm-hmm. What's Life's a Bitch?
Nas?
Nah, that's not LG.
LG, he did the whole LL Scratch album, Come Around My Way.
But he did a song on the
Come
Nas
Around
album.
My
not
Way.
Not Life's a Bitch.
Who did Life's a Bitch?
That was the Nas remix. DJ.
No, he did One
he did
Love,
a One Love remix.
So he did a One Love remix.
One Love remix.
But I think he also did an album cut. Hold on, real quick, sorry. The intro, he didn't do that. New York State of Mind premiere.
Put It On, Big L.
You did Put It On. Mm-hmm. Life's a Bitch, you're saying was...
I forgot the kid's name, but it's not LG.
All right, World Is Yours. No. Halftime.
Oh, no, that's Large P.
Large P did Halftime.
That's extra P.
Memory
right
Lane.
There.
Premiere.
Represent. Premiere. One Love.
Premiere.
One Time for Your Mind.
I hope he didn't do that.
No.
The Skipperooski.
He just
of the
did
album.
The remix for
I don't think
for
you
One
got...
Love.
It's definitely not Life's a Bitch.
Shout out to Q-Tip who did the original.
Q-Tip killed the original. Yeah, okay, man. So anyway, so he did 5 songs on it, including Past the Bone. You did 10 songs on the Jizz album, on the Genius album, Words from the Genius.
Now, when she put this reel together for Miles, right, a song on there I did for Genius called, True Fresh MC. I don't know why she just put that on the reel for Miles. Yo, she sent me to the meeting at his house. We put the tape in.
Where's his house? In New York?
He was at that time. He was living 88th, but on Central Park West between 88th and 89th.
Wow.
With the doorman downstairs, like the Jeffersons and all of that.
Life's a Bitch was LES. I'm an asshole.
Yeah. We go to his crib. He called a meeting and He's playing the cassette that Fran made for him, and he skips a bunch of songs. We get to True Fresh MC, Genius.
Skipping
and
he songs said, on a cassette?
He said...
That's the worst.
No, because he wanted to get to the one that
I
he
know,
wanted
but
to show
forever
me.
Back
it used to
then.
Take so long, and you'd guess, you'd overshoot it.
But he, I played the True Fresh MC, the Genius joint. He said, "That's bad. That's bad. I like that shit." He said, "You do that for me?" I was like, "Yeah, yeah." It's like he wasn't sure. Right. He asked me two more times, like, "You do that for me?" I was like, "Yeah, yeah, man." He's nodding his head. He looked at me again. "You do that for me?" I was like, "Come on, man. Let's go. Let's work."
I got you, Miles.
But
I got you.
But riff recording with Miles, that was like the biggest makeup for anything that, you know, didn't really jump off the way we wanted it to over there at A&M. Oh, wow.
Yo, I rock the mic.
At any party and in the place to be. Yo.
I'm a true
fresh MC.
I'm a
true fresh MC. Listen to this beat.
I worked real hard to achieve my goal, from building and bringing out my true inner soul, which was once on the downfall and then uplifted. While it
I think what he loved about that was the funk, man.
Was the what?
The funk, man. Miles wanted the funk.
I'll be honest, it's not one of my favorite Easy Mo BB.
What? By the way, what's the name of the Miles song you did?
I produced Miles Davis' entire last album.
Okay,
oh, really?
Yeah, man.
Whoa. Okay, so what was the first one that he did with you guys? What was that called?
That song is called the Doobop song. The album, the entire album, is called Doobop. Yeah.
There it is. The dude. Let's see if it comes up here. Oh, here we go. God, we are learning here, guys. Here we go. 1 second. 1 second. There's a Bud Light commercial.
But they didn't pay for that.
But they didn't pay for one episode. They get skipped over. All right,
skip
here you go.
In 5 seconds.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
I remember this shit.
Smooth, right? But he...
Gangstar used that same sample.
Yeah.
And don't you have the... is that the Rocky-ish on there? The... Or is it... You know the...
Cool in the Gang? Is it Cool in the Gang?
No, it's Summer Madness.
Oh, it's Summer Madness. Sorry. Summer
Madness. Cool
I'm a loser, guys. Summer Madness, Cool in the Gang.
I like Winter Sadness better.
Yo, we'll I can't believe later. Y'all didn't know that, man.
I just said it.
He just said it. He got
no,
it.
No, about the...
About you doing the song.
The album.
The whole album.
I didn't know the album. I mean, I remember now that you said it.
Listen, here's the difference, guys. People are going to call me out every time I make a mistake and write that I'm an asshole. But me and Cypher, one thing I learned from Cypher is when I don't know something, I'm just going to tell you I don't fucking know. Yeah. Wish I did.
Yeah.
I'm mad that I forgot this is Summer Madness because, of course, we've heard that sample used a million times since then.
Yeah. But we come on right here rapping and singing. Three-part harmony. I'm the last note.
Miles didn't care that it was a sample?
No, he cleared it. He didn't care.
I feel like Miles Davis would be like, "That's not real music. You taking somebody else's music."
Yo, he revolutionized the jazz, the hip-hop movement there, man. I say besides that and the biggest, one of the biggest accomplishments in, say, jazz/hip-hop to me was with Gangsta.
And Guru.
That's
right. The Jazzmatazz Project.
That's right. That's right. What Guru did, I mean, like, that kind of like, them two right there kind of spearheaded.
Ron Carter? Ron Carter on Low End Theory is...
Pretty mage also.
Pretty mage.
Pretty mage. You don't have to say mage. It's just mage.
I'm like mage.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
That's your
own
word, though.
I'm talking about and a jazz artist, it being their album, collaborating with. On Low, you're right. On The Tribe, that's the opposite.
Right. I see what you're saying.
But that is milestone too.
And I feel like
that spearheaded that whole movement too. It's all.
Gangstar was down with
Donald Byrd.
No,
Donald Byrd did a record
guy.
With Guru, didn't he?
Don't forget what Premier did early in the 90s.
Branford Marsalis.
Branford.
Buckshot LaFunk.
Buckshot LaFunk.
See, people will forget.
No, of course not. You can't forget the Breakfast at Denny's.
Oh, I love Moon Over Miami.
That's right.
Yeah, they made that a couple records there. All right, so we got to move ahead. We always get caught up in this stuff that's great, but there's so much to get
but
to.
But it's
still.
Good. We brought out some
and we did. We just brought some gems.
Some points.
And by the way, I want to wrap this up by saying something very important about Miles Davis, and everyone get ready for this. He was pretty good, Miles Davis. He did all right. Saif, you know what would have been nice? A Miles Davis one-up. You think you could work on that?
How about the Miles Davis movie?
What is the Miles Davis
movie? Coming out.
That's happening?
Yeah, yeah.
Who's in it?
What's his name? Why I'm going to forget his name.
Idris Elba.
No. What's the dude from the actor?
Yeah.
Don Cheadle.
James Franco.
Oh, Don Cheadle.
Yeah. Yeah, he's going to play Miles.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah, Miles' nephew, Vince Wilburn Jr., he's the executive producer of the soundtrack. There's going to be a movie. They already pulled me in to start remixing some music on there. There were masters available, and I requested Bitches Brew.
Ooh. Yes.
That's a good one to get. That's a mean one. All right, so you have this whole experience. You do the Kane records. You do the Words from the Genius records. What's the next step? How do we get between what other records pop up in there in that early 90s
period?
I'm
glad you asked that. A bunch of various remixes in between. Stuff like Pink Cookies in a Plastic Bag.
I mean,
Getting Crushed by Buildings.
So you did that.
Stuff like
original
that.
You did the remix?
The remix.
Oh.
Yeah. Party and Bullshit. Who's the Man?
Bullshit.
That's the start of Biggie.
It sure
that's
is.
That's the start of Bad Boy. And there wasn't even a Bad Boy yet. It was just Uptown MCA.
You guys are moving too fast.
MCA. This is how we do.
We'll get there. We'll get there.
Can we get to that quickly?
Yeah, well, I don't know, but
that's my shit.
Hurry up, man. I got to go get my peoples, yo.
Uh-oh. Yo, he got the true man. Video on. Yo, that video was sick.
What's up, man? What is this?
All right.
He was on the old buses, the old-looking buses.
Was that an 850i I just saw?
What's her name? Tracy was in the video, too. Tracy from Def Jam.
Oh, yeah. I forgot her name.
My peoples from back in the day.
Getting crushed by building. I take 30 electric chairs and put them in a classroom. 30 MCs and 7.
LL at this point was so cool. It's insanity.
Yo, LL was huge right there, man.
Oh, LL was unreal at this point.
And I want to take the time to say I also think that LL and Marley Marl was one of the most amazing artist producer collaborations.
Well said, sir.
After that, we saw so many producers doing entire albums with an artist, but I think that's one of the greatest, man.
So how did you end up doing it? So the...
And Marley Marl is a huge influence for me. that's one of the main reasons why I'm doing it. So Pink Cookies in a Plastic Bag was his original production that I had to remix. So I was like, yo.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
You have arrived, dude. The dude that influenced you the highest... You have to remix
his
record now. How did you
get the Party and Bullshit?
That was Who's the Man soundtrack.
Yep.
Fran sent me over there and was like...
She was your manager at the time?
Yeah, yeah. It's like, go over there and Andre says him and Puffy, they have a new artist. I got two fingers clicking up on both sides of me right now. I go over there and I find out the new artist is this same dude... That one day when I went by Mr. C's crib.
Right.
When C used to live right there on Gates and Franklin.
C was like,
yo, check this dude out. I was like, yo, son is nice. I walked away left. Months later, go over there and play some music for this new artist. I walk in. That's the new
same
artist.
Same kiss.
This manager sounds very bossy throughout the... So go over there.
So C was there real, real early, man. C played a large part in helping to discover and you know, delivering that to the unsigned hype. Shout to Matty Capaluongo.
Matty C.
That's right.
So hold on. So you go over there. And again, we're going to see that this woman, she was a very key player in all the stuff that you were doing with Uptown and eventually Bad Boy.
Yeah.
So you go over there and you see Biggie again. And how did this song get made? Did you play him a bunch of other stuff?
Originally, it was meant for me to go over there and just play a couple of tracks, do a couple of songs. But the chemistry was so good. First of all, the response was huge off of the Party and Bullshit. So that turned into playing more songs for the album, doing a couple for the album. A couple turned into six. Those six are The title track, Ready to Die.
Pretty good.
Warning. Give me the loot.
Oh, God.
Machine Gun Funk. The What featuring Method Man. Biggie only had one feature on his album back then. All you new artists out there, you try and do that. I bet you can't hold down an album by
Lady
yourself.
Lady Saw's on there, too.
Is that Lady Saw does respect?
I think so.
And the last friend of mine. On the second album, Life After Death, I only did two.
I Love the Dough.
I Love the Dough featuring Jay-Z and Angela Wimbush and Going Back to Cali.
Yeah. It's my shit right there.
Yeah, you did some pretty good ones. Pretty major.
Yeah.
So you do Party and Bullshit. Was that in studio with Big? Did you make it with him?
All of that stuff was in studio with
Big. Where was the studio?
They didn't have Pro Tools sessions.
Soundtracks. We was using Soundtracks.
Cypher Soundtrack.
One time we used Unique Studio.
20s.
Hit Factory across the street from here.
Hit Factory's right over here, right?
Did I just blow you up?
No, I think someone mentioned that.
No, it's not close to you. It's down. It was another block and a half.
But it's close.
Yeah, yeah, but in this area.
So, it was Big. What was Big like in studio that young? Because Cypher was just talking about last week how on Party and Bullshit, he's very young, yelly, Biggie.
Yelly Big.
Yelly.
He want to order his food. He want to smoke his weed. He may have some chicks come by to visit him. That's why I was like, yo, when we gonna work, man? He's sitting there after he eat and smoke and Junior Mafia, they running around in there laughing, throwing food. And I'm like, yo, when we gonna work? And in between, I noticed he would sit. He twiddle his thumbs. He's like mumbling to himself.
So
I'm not thinking he doing nothing. Serious, man. I was like the serious dude in there. And I'm like, yo, when we going to work? Then after about 2 hours, after all of that, he just jump up, start walking towards the booth. All right, Mo, I got you. Let's go. I was like, you got what? All I watched you order food, bullshit, play around. He's like, yo, I got you. I got you. He go in the booth, bang out 3 verses. I say, yo, this dude was sitting there writing in his head the whole time.
Here's what we have to explore.
After that, I never ever said nothing else to him.
So here's what I have to explore here. I need a really introspective answer here where you think deeply, Easy Moby. Did he do that every time you made a song, or did he sometimes pull out the pad and write?
So there was times when I saw when he would try to use the pad, but most of the times that he was better at it, is when I saw him sitting around when I thought he wasn't doing nothing.
Because it's funny, last week I interviewed Method Man, which I wanted us to get as well, but didn't work out. And he was like, when he talked about the what, Meth was on some shit the other day, but he like almost indignantly was like, yo, by the way, I saw Big, everyone says Biggie never writes shit down. I watched him write the verse. He wrote it in the fucking notebook. Which I think is great, because even though he loves and respects Biggie, a rapper still want everything to be equal. So he did sometimes occasionally toy with writing, but you think his best work was when he was just memorizing.
Yeah,
and he was still writing. He just wasn't writing it down.
And I remember clearly in like Soundtracks, that's like, stock. Stuff that they just provide for the artist. They put the pads, the pencils there. So I'm saying I would see him sitting there with it and try with it or whatever. But then there's times where I saw him, he'd just be sitting, just leaning over, just mumbling to himself. And like I said, I wouldn't think that he wasn't doing nothing if he could just jump up and go into the booth and just start. I don't know.
But did you watch
his process was deep, man.
Did you watch his style develop, though? Because like we said, on Party and Bullshit, I was a terrorist since the public school era. Really loud,
yeah,
really yelly.
Yeah, I want to talk about that.
How do we get from that to Warning, where he is much more controlled?
Okay, yeah. Party and Bullshit. Loud, aggressive, gutter, gritty, yelling. Warning. He was still that, but he was just laid back. But he was laid back because he had to tell the story. You know when the real Notorious B.I.G. was born on the microphone? I'll tell you. It was the last record of the album. And Puff said, yo, you got all of this hard shit. You got to do something for the girls, for the club, something cool for the radio, for the ladies. And that song is Juicy. He said, stop yelling.
That was the way end?
Huh?
Juicy was the end?
I think Juicy was the end of Biggie Smalls.
No, it was the end of the process of the album.
It was the last
thing
addition to the album.
Oh,
yeah.
Really?
Yeah, yeah. And that's when Puff, when he he inserted, you know, the advice that, yo, you got to stop yelling, man. He's like, yo, you got to fall back. You know, you got to address the women, man. It's not all about the dudes and all of this rah-rah shit. And in my opinion, right there is where the Notorious B.I.G. was born.
By the way,
Biggie Smalls died.
That is so interesting because Biggie Smalls, even the name, connotes something totally different to me. Like, it's that early kid when they show the pictures of him wearing the sweatshirts. Like, a totally different thing than by the time mainstream America was like, a rapper Notorious B.I.G.
Exactly.
There's a huge gap there, and it's interesting. First of all, and it really shows you Puff's value in 1 second. You know, the importance of having that one guy who may do some other things that we're like, oh, we don't know about that, but is the guy who goes, you need to make a song.
That's artist development, and that's what's missing today.
For real. Preach.
I mean, you know, we gotta be honest about it. People talk about Puff all they want to, but that's one of the last examples of what we would call artist development in this business going on. Somebody who was a mentor, somebody with advice, somebody who would pull the artist into the room and say, look, you can't do that. And take that off. And touch it, put your hat side like this, like, yo, just calm down. That's artist development. We don't have that no more.
Now the artists decide everything themselves. Now
the artists think they know everything. That's why there's a lot wrong with a lot of the music, because the artist, he will record his own shit, he engineer his own shit, he master his own shit, he's going to promote his own shit.
Did you know when you're in the process of making this that Biggie's that good? Like, were you
really
aware? I
knew he was real good, and I knew he was going to make a lot of noise, but I had no idea he was going to be as huge as he was. I thought the dude that recorded with him and did a song together, I thought that dude was going to be way bigger than him. Tupac.
Oh, you thought Tupac was going to be bigger?
Running.
I remember him.
You know, Running. Originally, that was produced by me, by Easy Mo B. There's an Eminem remix, but on the original version, it was Biggie. And there's more people that was on that record.
You felt when you saw Tupac, his presence was bigger?
Nah, it's just something about Pac where, I don't know, I just thought that he was going to be a bigger, more out of here artist. First of all, because Pac was doing movies. He was doing movies. His mother had that lineage to the Black Panthers, and
he had a look. He had a lot.
Yeah, and then just the fact that he had started doing movies, and I was like, yo.
So wait, when did you make this Running record originally?
We did that after, post Ready to Die, pre Me Against the World.
Pre-Me Against the World.
If you can figure out that middle
that
period
little window.
Right there. Yeah,
well,
yeah.
It's like a year and a half?
Between 94 and 95.
And 95, halfway through 95.
Ready to Die was out.
Yeah.
And was he around before that? Did you ever see him around before that?
First time I saw Pac, that's how I met him, was at the Budweiser Superfest. Because me and Riff, we was tagging along with Kane. Kane had a show. So, got SWV, you swear, all these different people there performing, and Kane was performing too. You know, in Madison Square Garden downstairs, they got a long strip hallway, like for the backstage.
Mm-hmm.
So we just happened to be walking towards each other, and he was like, yo, I've been looking for you. I want to work with you. Just like that. And it
Isn't
happened.
That the-
and then he told me, I'm here in New York. I'm recording. I'm filming Above the Rim at the Rucker Park.
Mm-hmm.
He's like, come up. You know, come on.
Damn,
my
Pac
trailer.
Got a lot done during that period.
I know.
He said, I get breaks. He said, come in the trailer, come and play me some joints. First joint, I came to the trailer and played them, ended up becoming Temptations.
Yo, Mo B, drop that shit.
Yeah. And then the other stuff that we did ended up being If I Die Tonight, Straight Ballin', My Block that went on the show.
Yo, I am such a My Block fan. You know My Block?
No. That's the night, the Superfest night. That's when Biggie and Pac came out with Kane, right? And did the Where Brooklyn at?
Gonna do it where like this. Where Brooklyn
that night.
At?
Yep, yep. That was that night. Oh, I was there. God. I was there.
The night
I was on stage.
Of all nights.
I was on stage. I was on the side.
What you gonna do with it, Pac?
Oh, here's a terrible remix of My Block. They have screwed. What they have?
You know why?
What do they do to your songs, Easy Mo B? Why do they do this?
I don't know. But you know why I like to continually tell this story? Because everybody always pushed the negative. I always like to let people know there was a friendship period.
Oh, of course.
Between Big and Pac. You know what I mean? And I was there, and as a record, we recorded to prove that. Reminiscing on my past fears, cause shit was hectic on me last year. It appears that I've been marked for death. My heart is breath, the underlying cause of my arrest. My life is stressed.
It's funny, when I think of the great Pac, like with him at his best, it's actually songs like that. It's interesting. It's the songs where he shows control. Pac and Big both loved yelly mode. They both loved going like Pac.
Different yell, though.
Different yell. Yeah, different yell. But I like Pac. I think Pac is a really great MC when he slows it down a little bit. Mm-hmm. For whatever reason, the records that I love aren't as screamy, even though I know a lot of people love his screamy records. But Runnin', were they together in studio?
Together.
Where was the studio?
We were in Unique Studio. That they're working on that building right there now. They're doing some redevelopment. 701 7th Avenue.
Is the original?
We were in Studio C.
Unique is where you got
on the
shot,
10th
right?
floor.
That's the studio you got
no,
shot?
No, that was Quad. On the next block.
Where's Unique again?
Unique was 47th and 7th. Quad
on
is,
47th or on 7th?
Quad is like 48th and 7th.
See, right, but it's on 7th.
Yeah, at the corner.
Where's Unique?
Next door to that old Sbarro's. Remember when Sbarro's
oh, yeah,
was
yeah,
right
yeah.
there?
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Remember that?
Mo, is this it?
Yeah, that's Running from the Police. But that...
Is that not yours?
It's a different mix.
Not, but this is closer
yeah,
to the original.
Yeah, that's the record, though.
Yeah, that's not a Mo B snare.
Nah, it's not.
Did you like what Eminem did with it or no?
I like the song.
Oh, you paused, nigga! You paused!
Gotcha!
Yo.
Nah, did you like... What'd you
Shady,
think?
Eminem, what up, man? No offense, man. Definitely not, man. It's all love. No, I like the song. I just wondered why Stretch came off the record. Dramacital from Outlaws came off the record. There was more people on the record.
Well, I can tell you. Why? Do you want me to explain why those people came off?
They made it.
They were like, let's simplify this whole fucking thing. We have a Tupac and Biggie song.
The record was huge, man. The Eminem mix was huge.
Stretch
what,
nice.
What can I say, man?
Was Stretch good?
Stretch was good. Stretch from the Live Squad. They were on Tommy Boy.
Right. Didn't we talk about Stretch last week?
Yeah, a little bit. I always hear about him and who he was, but I never heard his music. Like, was he a good rapper?
Yeah.
And was the Live Squad was other rappers or just?
Yeah, he also appeared on. I got a chance to hear the Masters for So Many Tears. He got a verse on there too.
Oh, really?
That you don't hear. On the record, but I did a remix to So Many Tears that never came out. Mm. It's got his verse on it and everything.
And was there other rappers in Live Squad or was it just like a group, like a
it
DJ?
It was a group. But only one that I knew, got to know was Stretch.
And he was just around everybody? He was just one of those dudes that was just,
yeah,
knew
yeah.
everybody?
He was just a real likable dude, man.
Hey, Saif, can you remember the exact spot that we're in right now?
Yeah.
Because I want to pause for a second to tell you about something.
Okay. Is it like that awkward pause of when Easy Mo B said he didn't like the Runnin' remix?
That is not what happened. That is not what happened.
No, that was my record and everything. It's just
fucking with
somebody
you, man.
Did a different mix.
No, it's of course you're going to feel that. Listen, guys, want to give a big thank you to our friends over at Bevel. You know,
oh, is that what you're about to talk about?
Yeah.
Okay.
Getbevel.com.
How you spell bevel?
BEVEL.com.
Like on your watch.
So now, no, that's a bezel.
Bezel?
Yeah.
Oh, I'm wrong?
Yeah. You go close. Oh, you were close, Easy Mo. Mo, leave the sponsoring to me, okay? no, so, Saif, I will say this.
Yeah.
You, for a long time, looked like a fat, disgusting schlub.
Right. Like almost with like a caveman type of facial hair.
You like a hobo, but way worse? Like a
right.
hobo who'd been...
Just wearing some kind of newspaper underwear.
Anyways, you have since cleaned up your act, and I can't believe how smooth your face is thanks to Bevel. This is amazing.
You know, I always tell you this. I never put a razor to my face my entire life. Always use clippers from
right.
the barbershop.
You were scared. You didn't want to get have your taste.
Yo, people with razor bumps look nasty. No disrespect. No, you know what? Disrespect.
I got some, man. I got
some. But you know what you need? You know what you need? Bevel.
I need
it's
a bevel.
It's made for our type of hair.
We got you. We're going to take care of you, Easy Mo. We'll make sure you get that. Getbevel.com. If you head over there right now and use the code WANEP, they'll give you 20% off. Incredible smooth skin. It's meant for skin just like yours. Go to getbevel.com. The code is WANEP. Listen, if Nas is an investor, Syfe, what does that say?
Babyface Nas?
Thank you. So big shout out to Bevel. Thank you so much. And go support them and Juan Epstein. Now, we were in the midst of talking about the Tupac Biggie running record. Was that the only time you were with them together?
Yeah, that was the only one record that they did together. With me.
Yeah.
And that we were all together, yeah.
It is weird to realize, though, how many songs they did together. After the, there actually is a more than I realized.
How many? Four?
Something like that. That's still a lot for a kind of random
Eddie
combination.
Eddie F. did one.
Eddie F. did Let's Get It On.
I've been bringing that to light recently because a lot of people, they say, yo, the only one to ever work with. I'm like, stop it.
No, Eddie F., Let's Get It On was tight. I love Let's Get It On.
I got to give you my hand. They can't even see, but they can hear it.
I'm a nerd. I'm a nerd, Easy Mo. And then they did the points.
The Ron G one.
The points, and they did the Ron G one. Mm-hmm. Now, by the way, but this is not the only time when you have been fucked over on a remix, of course.
Uh-oh.
Again, related to Eminem.
What?
Dead Wrong. You produced the original Dead Wrong. I do. I love the new version of Dead Wrong. What is your version sound
like? Oh, no. That was dope. My version was more soulful, and the drums were more boom bap.
Let's see if it exists on YouTube. You think it's out there?
Yes.
I believe it's out there.
It's definitely out there.
Dead Wrong original. Let's see. I don't know if I've ever heard it in my life.
Here I had the Uzi soulful bass line. The drums was like swinging, boom bap. Oh, yeah. Somebody put that on top.
Yeah.
That don't belong. You're dead wrong. The weak and the strong, who got it going on? You're dead wrong. Relax and take notes while I take totes of the marijuana smoke. Throw you in a choke, gun smoke. Nicky smoke for mayor, the rat slayer, the hooker layer. Motherfucker, say your prayers. Hail Mary, full of grace. Smack the bitch in the face. Now, in this case, you really like the Dead Wrong remix? No, I like the remix.
You like the remix? Yeah, the remix is pretty good.
And no, that. What I also like about the remix
pretty
is
good.
That...
pretty good.
What I also like about the remix is that on the master tape, you have the original elements that's there when they bring everything up. They kept my scratches. That I don't care what nobody's, that ain't right. You're dead wrong. I don't care what, that ain't right.
They kept all that.
Yeah.
Did you get paid again for that?
Scratches? What do I want for scratches?
I don't know.
Scratches is a part of your production, something that you do.
Do you get paid when someone takes the run an acapella and makes a new version, or do you get nothing from that?
That's different. That's the vocals.
Right. That's what I'm saying. Do you get nothing for that because it's the vocals?
Who uses it? What do you mean?
Like, so when Run-In got remixed,
yeah,
Easy Mo produced the original. Do you not get anything, or do they?
Yeah, he does.
You still get something.
He's a writer.
I have to. Yeah, I'm a writer.
Because you're a writer, so you still get
paid. Taken from the song, yeah. But in the case of those scratches, man, I was on it. I liked it. I still sit back and I smile when the Dead Wrong Eminem remix come on.
Oh, I love
people
it.
Hear the scratches. I'm like, they don't know. Those are my scratches.
Wait, did you do any other scratches? Did you do Ready to Die?
Yeah.
Some good ones on there.
No.
C did
the scratches on Ready to Die and Give Me the Loot. I'm a bear. Burr.
C did those?
Yeah.
I told you that.
I didn't know that.
I told you that last week.
I don't pay attention when you talk.
I'm a bear. That's
amazing. Yo, let's talk about Give Me the Loot.
Yeah.
How was Biggie, his recording, the double voice situation? How did you guys, just tell us about the process of Give Me the Loot.
I thought that was one of the, oh man, that was so dope. Who's going to think of that to create two characters from yourself? I'm going to have one octave lower, then I'm going to have another one like pitched high.
And did he say he was going to do that, or he just went in the booth and started doing it?
He just started doing it. I was like, this dude is crazy.
He when you think about it, he did it two times. He did it
Warning.
On. That's right. He did it on one and two.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You're very right, Sive. That fresh face you have from Bevel is making you smarter,
it's
too.
It's letting the knowledge come out.
You're right.
The
you're
pores.
Just dropping gems now. That is so. You're just sitting there, and all of a sudden, he's like, "Motherfucking right!" And you're like, "Who is that guy?"
And you know, the crazy thing is, right after the record was made, I would go like out in the street. I'd be somewhere, right, and cats would ask me, "Yo, who that other dude cat on the record?" I say, "Yo, that's him." That's him, you know.
Crazy. Unless it's the movie The Show and Puff does the other character's part, and it's terrible. No, it's not terrible. It's fine. It had to be done.
He's
you have someone else do it.
In the morning video, too, he's the other guy.
Yeah, he's the other guy. He loves playing the other guy. At this point when you're doing this, was the relationship good with Puff? Because eventually things with you and Bad Boy ended up stopping working with them.
You want me to tell you why?
Yeah.
I know. I read why. You said in an interview in Scratch Magazine.
It was over some credit on Flavor in Your Ear.
Yeah, that you hated that Puff took, like, first credit. It says produced by Puffy, Chucky Thompson, and Easy Mo B. And right. You're like, it should say produced by Easy Mo B. Would you have been cool if it said produced by Easy Mo B with?
I produced the original, and then this was a remix.
But here's the thing.
The remix is the same.
It's producing is not making the beat. That's why. Producing a record is not... In hip-hop, we take the term producing as making the beat, but producing a record is way more than making the beat. I'm just giving you the other side.
But what if you produced the record and remixed the record?
Now, hold on.
Which is what I did.
But were you there when they put the other artists on it, on the remix?
Yeah, I was there.
Okay, well then Puff's an asshole.
Wait, you were there? You were, like, did you help with the Biggie verse and the Busta verse? And the
I don't handle people's verses. They do their vocals. I do the music.
Well, that's what I'm saying. So Puff could argue, though, that he's there being like, nah, let's try this.
Oh, yeah, he was involved in that
like,
way.
Like, LL, I want you to say blotitious. And LL's like, what the fuck is blotitious? And he's like, trust
me. But when Pete Rock did the remix to Shut Him Down, it's remixed.
Yeah, but there's no other elements, though. He just did the beat and took the vocals and put it on top.
Come on, man.
Yeah, come on, man.
He's giving you the other side. He's just trying to argue the other side.
Come on, man. Aww.
But it worked.
I just say producing a record is way more than... If it's a record like that, where there's a lot of other elements going on.
Okay.
Like someone had to get Rampage's verse together.
It's like producing a movie, you know? It's not just one...
Yeah, but still. But hold on. But here, I agree with you, Sife. But here's the thing.
But what would you have done,
it should, here's what it should say.
What would you have done?
Credit-wise. What would Flavor
Your
Remix?
If you were in that situation, what would you have done?
Are you advised?
You hesitated.
No, I'm thinking if I
you
should.
You hesitated.
Nah, you did it to me hesitated. Early. You hesitated.
I'm thinking. That's different. I would. But did you never worked with them again after that, you're saying? Or you had an argument with? I don't know the story. That's why.
Yeah, how bad did the argument go with Puff?
Well, it wasn't really an argument. I just think that. And this has always been my opinion. Maybe he didn't like me approaching him on that. But I don't know. I just felt like I needed to speak up and say something about it.
But what did you say?
In my opinion, I didn't see nothing wrong with it.
What did you do? I don't know the story.
Well, I was approaching the credits it read.
Right.
Produced by Sean Puffy Combs.
For the remix.
Chucky Thompson and Easy Mo B.
Right.
That's what it said for the credit to the Flavor in Your remix. You believed it should have said produced by Easy Mo B. Would you have said with Chucky Thompson and Sean Puffy Combs?
Well, Chucky Thompson sat high atop a file cabinet and watched me do it.
Well, that is not easy either. I mean, how high was the seat on the cabinet?
By the way, the remix was done in Sound on Sound. I remember that clear as day.
Is it the greatest remix in hip hop? I mean, it's right up there in the top. It's the top 10 hip hop remix of all time.
Yeah, I don't. I let other people decide.
Well, I'm the decider, and it is up there, my friend. That remix is.
But you know what? I just want to say this throughout the whole controversy thing, because there's been a lot of stuff about that in the press. Over the years, Puff, if you can hear me at the sound of my voice, it's all love. And you know me, you know I was more different than anybody that you ever dealt with. You know that I would approach you, I would say something if I wanted to question something. When others would sit back and they wouldn't say anything, I was that one, and I would do that. So
do you regret?
It's all love.
Do you regret it?
There is no love, huh?
Do you regret it?
I don't regret anything in my life that I've done.
You stopped working with them after that?
It's not that I stopped working with them. Maybe I didn't get called,
right,
for a lot more stuff after that.
But then you still did Ready Life After Death. You did two tracks.
Yeah.
But that's because Biggie loved your track.
I feel proud that I was there to help. I think it's okay to say that. Build.
Yeah, absolutely.
Your foundation. I'm a brick.
No, many bricks.
To the foundation of, you know, what was started there. You know what I mean? So.
Yeah.
No, but I'm serious about that, man. It's like it's, you know. I don't hold on to things for years and stuff. This has been stuff that many people have spoke about, heard about, seen.
Yeah, I didn't even know about
it. I'm not one to run, hide. I'm not going to sit here and stutter, you know, cackle. Yo, it's all love. Puff, I'm still that same dude. You want to work? Let's get money. Mm. Whatever.
Have you seen him?
Last time I saw him was at the Notorious movie premiere.
Was he cool?
He was just moving fast. We didn't get a chance
to chop
speak
it up.
He looked at him, we waved with him, but wasn't
that's
no.
That.
Yeah.
What is the sample for Flavonoid? You know what that is?
Now, why would I tell you that?
We need to know. That's what this is
I'm
about.
Not going to tell you.
Why?
Is it not cleared?
Oh, it's not. If it's not cleared,
it's something so small. That
is it more common than
you don't need to know.
Okay. Is it more common than we would think? Is it like a record that we might have heard, or is it very rare?
It's very rare.
And it's one sound that you played over the SP?
Yeah, basically transposed high and low.
I have in my possession, not with me right now, but at home, I have what is known as your famous bass tone. That somebody gave me.
Yeah.
An engineer gave it to me.
Excuse me.
And it's the same bass tone from that song, from Ooh. Lost Boys. And basically it's just boop, and then played over the SP-12.
Yeah, it's deep.
Fire.
You turned your bass up?
I never used it. I just like having shit like that.
Did you blow your speakers?
Nah.
Which Lost Boys records did you did?
Lifestyles of the Rich and Shameless.
The M's,
Jeep Scoops, like Jeep, Beamers and the Benz, and cool. Is This the Part?
I mean, this song right here, guys, the moment this was in New
York. Is this the part you take my heart and wipe your feet on?
That's a,
yeah.
What's that original? What's that, the group from England, Loose Ends?
Got my mans that put me on, you know what I'm saying?
One
shout out to the uptown.
Hear the bass? That.
This is how we do it.
Funkmaster Flex used to love this record.
What?
Man.
What?
Used to? What do you mean used to?
Oh, man.
I have that bass tone. Yo, the dude was like, it was like he was selling me crack. He was like, yo, come here. I need some more beat bass tone. I was like, what the fuck is that?
Well, let's not put it.
Who's the best? Who's the worst in this here rap game? Uh-huh. For those that claim to be the best, I tear them out the frame. I'm representing, putting Queen.
Do you realize, do you take moments like... Do you take a moment, ever still, play that loud, and be like, God damn it, I contributed to this thing? I mean,
I go back and I listen to stuff, but I'm going to be honest with you. I try to stay away from a lot of stuff that I mean.
Why? Why not just, I would just listen to it all day.
I listen to it, but I don't listen to it too much.
But do you feel good when you sleep at night? Do your contributions affect that you know you did? I mean, you accomplished major things in this game.
Oh, yeah, man.
Warning? Warning is literally played. And Warning's like I Love Lucy. It's playing at some point in the world at all times. Like,
you
it's
know
one
what?
Of those songs.
You know what? I feel like, I hope, you know, the same way a lot of the producers that revolutionized music, like Dr. Dre, to Marley Marl, to, you know, all of the cats that come before me and laid the foundation... I feel like I always wanted to be one of those cats. I always wanted to have a profound effect mm-hmm. upon people like that.
And I think I've done that. That alone right there, that makes me happy, man. Makes me happy. It's like cats that come to me, and it surprised me sometimes how young they are. They like, yo, you the reason why I make beats, son. I'm like, you know.
And you got a sound.
That's enough to give you a good feeling right there, because that's a kid that was in the crib studying, trying to make beats that wasn't out doing stupid shit and getting caught up into something, man, you know?
What do you think's the main, if you had to choose one, the definitive beat that you're like, yo, this is what people should remember me for, was this. Which one is it?
Flavor in your ear.
Had to be.
And believe it or not, probably second to that, one of my favorite beats. This is just because of all of the work that went into it. If you really sit and you listen and you dissect this beat, you would understand how much work went in. Everything Remains Raw.
By the way,
oh, I forgot about that.
If you really sit and listen to to all of the tiny little things going on in that beat, it's like,
I'm giving you.
By the way, I need you guys to do me a favor, and I say this with all due respect to both of you. Everyone stop talking for a long time. When you were just talking about his sound scythe, that bass, I literally almost was like, do you do anything for Busta?
Yeah.
Because Everything Remains Raw.
It's a party.
It's a party?
It's a party.
Oh, no, sorry. I was thinking
Let's get it on tonight.
No. But this right here, guys, you keep changing things. And I don't know where to go. But this right here, it epitomizes what that sound is. Like that bass that you just talked about.
Yeah.
It's the bulk of this. It's...
Oh, yeah. It's pretty deep in there.
It's
go high, though.
Fire.
That bass you're talking about, though, you want to hear that at its best? Listen to Get Down by Craig Mack.
Oh, yeah.
Listen, shout to Basie Brockman, engineer.
I would not pick that beat. If I heard that beat in a beat tape, I would not pick it.
Which one?
Everything Remains Raw.
Even though it's, and then you hear it, and it's such fire.
Well, you don't see, I don't even hear Buster on that beat without actually hearing him. It's so mellow and calm.
Yeah, but this right here, I think, yeah, Get Down, Craig Mack, listen. Shout to Bob Basie Brockman. We did this at Hit Factory. I don't know what he did, but the room was shaking.
What?
1, 2.
This bass is so deep. You gotta play this on a real system.
Did you like Q-Tip's mix?
Yeah.
See?
It's like, it's like the boom. It was like a boom bap, a alternative to my, I looked at my joint was like club.
Yeah, and this one was super, this was like the college radio.
Exactly, it was the boom bap alternative.
Let me tell you what they do when these MCs run. Yo, this song was... I think it's really amazing. I think a lot of our listeners, and tweet me at Rosenberg Radio or at Cypher Sounds, I wonder if they're having the same experience I have, which is know all these songs. I remember that you did all these songs. Didn't kind of put together how much you can tell that they're all you. You know what I'm saying? Until you have it in this kind of conversation.
There's some kind of signature stamp.
What are you doing? Why are you doing that?
I like doing this noise.
This is live radio. This is the kind of thing that happens live.
What kind of psychotic person?
Some girl hit me. Was like, "You blew out my ears when you was fucking with the wire."
No, but when you heard it all together, like Syfe, I think you've always been more keenly aware of that because you think more like a producer. But like, I never thought about how much all those songs really do. That is really such a big part of all of it.
Yeah. And it dates back to like a lot of people. I'm not West Indian. I'm not Jamaican or anything like that. But I've always felt like I wanted my bass to be deep, just as deep
as those reggae,
and as compared to, you know,
a dance hall like the
what,
like that. You play like Warning or Lost Boys in a club. You hear the difference.
Yeah, I always wanted my bass to be deep like reggae. That's where a lot of it come from, man. You know that
Yeah. Well, you
need that bump, that knock.
What else? What other songs are there during that time? Are there any other ones we're forgetting?
After that, and during that same
time.
You
did the what, right?
Let's speak about stuff that's not the obvious, because people always talk about I worked with Dougie Fresh.
When did you work with Dougie Fresh?
That had to be 95, 96, right?
What,
there.
Summertime? Around that time when he did Summertime?
I can't. The song name Summertime?
Yeah. It's Summertime. And
I was on the album with.
Hey Yo I.
Yep.
Yeah.
Hey Yo I.
Yep. I'm sorry, what did I say?
Hey Yo.
And it's Ayo.
Yeah.
Sorry. Apologies.
It's On. That was the name of the joint. Dougie Fresh, man. Alicia Keys.
Oh, yeah. You won a Grammy with Alicia Keys, correct?
Wu-Tang. Public Enemy.
What? Oh.
Queen Latifah. Man, I like to speak about the things that a lot of people usually don't mention. Because the top Pac, that's typical. And then people always want to ask me about the puffy shit. You know what I'm saying?
Of course.
Y'all did.
Kind of. We only lightly.
But you know what, though? If people want to know, you know, we talk about it.
We only lightly treaded there. You get an actual physical Grammy for the Alicia Keys win?
Yeah.
That must have been nice.
Yeah.
At that point in time, in like 2000, you've already had these huge monetary successes and great successes in hip-hop. Must be nice to then go get the trophy.
Yeah.
Don't ignore Syfe when he starts making bizarre hand signals to Carhartt Girl.
Most Def.
Sorry?
Nobody talks about that.
What did you do for Most Def?
Zim Zalabim. Am I saying it right? Zim Zalabim.
When did you do that?
This was like at least about 6 years ago, something like that, on one of his albums.
So what is, Syfe, I always ask this to everyone. Do you know what I'm going to ask?
Yeah, you got
to
ask about his money.
Oh, come on, man.
The best check. What's the best one? Of all the checks that come in, what's the best publishing check that comes in? Is it just the Life After Death check? Has to be, right?
I mean, yeah, that's the more popular stuff. Maybe that's the reason why that's the stuff that people always refer to, because that's the meat.
I mean, that's the meat. That is the meat, right? That's a great way of putting it.
Yeah, of the bulk of out of all the stuff that I've done, yeah.
I mean, I'm sure you live a nice, comfortable life, and and that life is afforded a lot by that Ready to Die work. Is that correct? I mean, that has to be true.
I'm all right.
And I mean, Life After Death, I'm sure was a nice one too.
I'm not gonna sit here and say enough to have people waiting for me downstairs.
No, of course not. We're not gonna say that.
I'm all right,
but you're good.
I'm good.
You don't have to be hustling around.
Nah,
you work.
I wouldn't do that anyway.
But I mean, you work when you feel like working.
When you said hustling around, I mean like selling drugs.
No, I don't mean selling drugs.
Stuff.
I don't think you're gonna be doing that anymore.
Oh, never ever.
No, that doesn't seem very much your personality. But I just mean in terms of like even having to scrounge around for music work. If like you had a time when it's dry, do you need to go do work, or can you just chill out and wait for these publishing checks to roll in?
Well, I think that in this day and time, it's not even about waiting around. Like, you create your own work. It's just like. When this Miles Davis movie was being made, immediately, Vince Wilburn is Miles' nephew. That's my boy. I went to him like, yo, what's up? It's like, oh, yeah, no doubt, Mo B. So I'm remixing Bitches Brew. It's just like that. It's like sometimes you got to create work. You actually do. You have to create work.
What Wu-Tang records did you do? I can't remember, but I know the
Take
song.
Take It Back.
Yeah, from...
Eight Diagrams.
That was a good joint. On a slept on album that had a bunch of good joints, honestly.
Yeah, people sleep. Yeah.
People slept on a lot of the late Wu-Tang albums, in my humble opinion.
Yeah. The sound changed a lot since their era, so, you know. A lot of people fronting on boom bap, or what you would call real hip-hop. They fronting on it. Because, you know, times have changed.
But I got to tell you something. This is hard for me to admit. Recently, there's an artist who I won't name, who no one has heard of, who sent me a record. And he's a fine rapper. But the way that he raps combined with the way the beats sound, I would have probably put it in my mix show rotation in 98, 97, 96. Now, it's so plainly just like that, that to me it does feel dated and like and doesn't pique my interest the same way.
It depends on.
And I know people wouldn't want to hear me say that, but sometimes when you hear something that's just completely straight ahead, boom, boom, yeah, boom, 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 and rapping about very, you have to have your own spin on what you're doing.
Yeah, but it depends on how you do it, though. It depends on how you do it, because, you know, you could say that, but at the same time, like when Kanye, when he did Bound, it's just a sample.
but he does it.
It's not drummed up nothing.
Oh, no, believe me, I know. I play that Ponderosa Twins record.
But it's a crazy record.
It's done really
well. And there's a lot of records out here like that, and, you know.
Well, what about Bronson, Strictly For My Jeeps? Now, that's a totally straight-ahead boom-bap record, but I loved the record.
Well, Bound 2 doesn't sound like a 90s boom-bap record.
No, but it is just a straight-ahead. It's a sample which played.
It's that gritty, you know what I mean, samples type stuff.
Yeah, I understand the sample part, but not.
Nah, you know what Bound is? You know what I play Bound? When I'm DJing my 45s, you play the Bound with the Ghostface La 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 Delphonics record. Mm. Like in just the 60s soul records. Yeah. But like, yeah, Kanye does stuff. But the bottom line is Kanye's done other songs that are more like straight ahead boom bap records, and they're still great because he does different shit whenever he's on a song.
But so, you know what though? They say the more things change, the more they stay the same. I haven't turned my back on what you would call generic boom bap, soulful hip hop. I still do it. I still believe in it. But
you're still doing it in a way that's, in my opinion, probably better. Royce and Primo just made an incredible boom bap album. Yeah. But to me, they were pushing boundaries and doing it differently, and it was special. You just can't make something that you're copying the sound like 1995.
Yeah, of course, yeah.
And you're never going to do it as well as it was done in
95. You still can be you, but you definitely got to take it to new heights and try different things with it, you know?
You mentioned Marley, you mentioned Dre. Who else is in there in the conversation for the best producers of all time?
I'm not even going to say the best, because then people get judgmental over the names that I'm dropping. The ones who influenced me the most. Molly Mall, Herbie Lovebug, Howie T, The Bomb Squad from Public Enemy, the early production that Jazzy J was doing, you know, stuff like that from that era. Those, and then after that, the Primos, the Pete Rocks, the Diamond D's, these are the people that, even still to this day, that continue to keep me inspired, man, you know? And of course, we can't do things exactly the same way, but the basis to that, I'm not leaving that, man. That's me, man. Mm-hmm. I'm going to flip it on you. You're 2015.
Exactly.
But that's the basis for me, man.
I mean, listen.
And you can hear me flipping that 2015 and taking those chances and transforming it, taking it to different heights on that new instrumental beat album that
he's,
I got
he's actually
out.
Pretty good.
I knew that was coming. Called, I felt that. I said, oh, it is about to be.
Called, nice and you don't stop. You'll hear that. Like,
see if this comes up. I don't
play Bad Meaning Bad.
Is this off your album?
Yep.
The new one?
Yeah.
All right, hold on. Slow down, Easy Moby. I gotta find this. Here we go. I'm going to pull up this little sample, this little, see if I can get a.
On YouTube, it might be labeled under And You Don't Stop.
Hold on. I was actually going to.
I don't know why, but sometimes they don't. On YouTube, whoever uploaded it, they didn't.
And You Don't Stop label album. It. Is there rapping on this album? Or it says explicit? Bad meaning bad?
Yeah, play it.
A little snippy snip. Here you go.
Nautilus.
Good work, Sly.
Never go wrong with Nautilus. Never.
Never what?
Can go wrong with Nautilus.
I can hear somebody really, really lyrical getting at that. Now I want you to go. Oh, you have the whole album.
I have the whole thing. Yeah, you want to play another one?
Go to Throwback.
Go to a joint called Throwback.
Here we go. It's off the Easy Mobi album, And You Don't Stop.
Wait, is there stopping involved?
Zero.
See, there's certain things that I don't care what you think, I'm gonna keep doing them. All right, it's like, this is hip hop to me, man.
This isn't generic, also. It may be boom bap, that doesn't make it generic boom bap. Not every bit of boom bap is generic inherently just because it's boom bap. So yeah. Some people send me stuff that's just like, they literally just jacked a primo thing from 98 was supposed to sound like, and that's what they send me.
Yeah.
Not enough.
Play Fix That real quick. Fix That.
Just giving you a taste here of the Easy Mo.
Wait, is there stopping involved?
You see that we're not stopping.
Okay. And you don't stop.
Hold up.
And that's why I named it that. Because that's the favorite thing they always say.
What?
You don't stop.
Saif, could you fuck a bitch to the song? You could? Because it's instrumental. So this, it gives you a nice...
Be a good Carhartt girl for this.
with the pants and everything? The whole suit?
No. Carhartt girl is a... She doesn't wear all Carhartts.
She's just wearing a jacket. You remember, Mo. We talked about this. Everyone.
This is a girl you smash in the truck. No, no, it's not a truck. Sorry. Some kind of car. Like a Bonneville. And it's definitely like two... old Slurpee cups on the floor. You know what I mean? That's Carhartt girl.
Yo, hey Mo, it's been a real pleasure, man.
No doubt. And anybody that's interested, pick up that And You Don't Stop on iTunes and also on rcsmusic.com.
And how can people find you, Mo B? What's your social media?
I'm on Twitter as @EASY_MO_BEE. On Instagram at the real Easy Mo B, at the EASY MOBEE.
And you can remember.
The real Easy Mo B.
And you remember because he took the E off of Mo and he switched the D to B.
That's right.
We've all learned this.
That's right.
Before I let you go, when was the last time you talked to Biggie? Do you remember that?
The last time I talked to him and that I saw him, he was, him and Jay-Z, they was pacing back and forth. And mumbling to themselves, writing in their head for the...
Love the Dough.
I Love the Dough joint. And he told me, he said, yo, Mo, me and Jigga, we gonna step out. I'll be back. That's the last time I was on.
And when last did... Time
I ever saw him, and I waited and I waited, and they took so long.
So what, you eventually got the vocals, the completed vocals later?
Yeah.
Oh, so they didn't finish the song that night?
They didn't finish the song that night. I couldn't stay. I had something to do in the morning, so I had to leave. I finally left out of there maybe about 2 in the morning or something.
And then you came back to mix it?
Nah, I didn't get called back.
Uh-oh. Shit got weird.
Records came out great, though.
So they were just pacing around with this instrumental playing for like hours straight?
Or
so. This record is, the rhyme back and forth is so dope, but it doesn't get the credit.
It was Brooklyn Finest.
Smooth Brooklyn Finest.
Smoothed out.
Yeah, exactly.
Right.
It doesn't get the credit, though. It deserves. Chicken Ace, Diddy Ass, and Parada B. Something you cats got to see. And the watches be all types of shapes and stones. Being broke is childish, and I'm quite grown. Run up in the club with the ice on. Me and Pies on. Scope the spot out, see something nice, and I'm gone. You can't. Big never said hove. I'm in the 1500 seats watching tights on. Think about it.
No, the name didn't exist.
Because he's like, yo, me and Jigga.
Oh, yeah, he said me and Jigga. Yeah, he didn't know Hov.
Nobody says Jigga now.
If I got to ask Big a question, I really would want to know if Big thought Jay was, like, this great. Or if he was just a little man, like, his homie he liked and was like, get on. Oh, he put an album, too? That's tight. You got a little album on Priority? That's dope, man. Yeah, Rockefeller. Yeah, it's dope. Did he really think, though, like, he would be challenging me for, like, greatest?
I don't know.
I don't know. We don't know.
We'll never know.
Hey, Easy Mo B, thank you, man. A real treat. And Your Don't Stop is out right now.
Thank you, man. Thank you for letting me be able to sound my voice off about my album.
and You Don't Stop. Y'all go pick that up on iTunes.
And, man, I'm telling you right now, you don't hear it every day. Your contributions are extremely appreciated, my man. You made some classics that we, people like me and Syph, will play forever and ever and ever.
Thank you, man. I'll keep on making them.
Well, You Don't Stop.
And You Don't Stop.
And You Don't
Stop. Yeah, it is.
Hey, guys, next week we come back with another monster, Juan Epstein. So we will see you next week. Syph, any final words? Don'tgetgassed@gmail.com.
Yeah, please. Don'tgetgassed@gmail.com. Or you can always hit me on Twitter @CypherSounds. And let's go ahead and start this investigation on who Sneaky Big Tits is. It's at that time.
We have to find this out. I'm on my way down to South by Southwest Thursday and Friday night. I'll be hosting the ICM showcases. Friday afternoon from 3 to 5, I'll be DJing at Fader Fort. And I'm doing a beat producers roundtable thing with Manny Fresh and a whole bunch of other dope producers. So holler at me if you're going to be in Austin, Texas. And yeah, that's it.
One on?
No.
One volume.
One volume. Oh, I got to tell you one last thing, Seth. So I'm Taco Bell.
Yeah.
It doesn't stop the mission.
Okay.
It doesn't stop.
All right.
The other day I'm watching TV.
I'm listening.
And I go, a Taco Bell commercial comes on and I'm stoned and I'm just like, I want to work with Taco Bell so bad.
Yes.
And my buddy's like, well, that's crazy that you would just say that out of the blue. And then he's like, hey, you should watch this Conan O'Brien thing with Taco Bell, where Conan took like this guy who works for him to Taco Bell headquarters because the guy's obsessed.
Mm-hmm.
And then the woman who starts the thing is like, hi, I'm so-and-so. I do brand marketing for Taco Bell.
Mm.
And I have since sought her out. And I've tweeted her, and she's very regular.
Where's headquarters? In L.A.?
I don't know, but she's at South By right now. But she didn't hit me back yet.
Oh, she said her name on that thing.
Found her on Twitter. Sent her a very solid tweet. I'm a good
You are good with that.
I sent her a very I went, hey, we should talk about Taco Bell and my beloved Juan Epstein podcast. It would be a great fit. And then I figured she'll see that and she'll double click my name and be like, oh, well, this guy's not a total schmuck.
Not a lose-lose.
Not a total lose-lose. And but I didn't hear back from her. So
late. What's her name?
Oh, I don't want to give away her whole name, but her name's Katie.
Katie, we love you. We love what you represent.
And look what I sent her. Look what I sent her. This is too aggressive. I sent her an IG DM too. I tried both. A tweet and an IG DM. Look at the picture I chose for the IG DM.
Which one am I looking at? The top?
Just the whole picture.
Oh, I see. Yeah.
Nice. I sent her of when we were number one in music. Nice. You know, she doesn't know that was a few months ago. Anyways, guys, we love you. We'll end up with Taco Bell. We'll find a Carhartt girl and we'll be there for you next week. One ep, over and out. Easy Mo B.
Peace.
Cheers.